For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Today's topic is shining the light of awareness. James Baraz said, "Mindfulness is simply being aware of what's happening right now without wishing it were different. Enjoying the pleasant without holding on when it changes, which it will. Being with the unpleasant without fearing it will always be this way, which it won't." In our culture, we often focus on changing our external environment to make us happy. We cling to things we like. We push away or ignore the things we don't like. We try to control the uncontrollable, but this strategy doesn't always work. We can't keep all the things that make us happy, and we can't avoid the unpleasant. We're all going to have unpleasant in our lives. External events don't have to control our attitudes. It's how we react to those external events that impact our well-being. So to increase our happiness, we need to learn to savor the pleasant and accept the unpleasant. We're learning to be mindful, to see what is in the present moment. At the same time, we have to accept it. Acceptance is important because when people accept unpleasant experiences, it allows the experience to run its course and to dissipate. We know that what we resist persists and often gets stronger. Just trying to stop an itch on your back that you can't reach, and the itch gets stronger and stronger and stays there. If we don't resist it, changing the focus of our attention, the itch goes away without us having to do anything at all. So we need to learn how to accept the unpleasant and just let it dissipate. Accepting stress helps us to stop focusing on what's wrong and noticing other feelings, sensations, and thoughts that are occurring. When we see the pleasant and the unpleasant together, we see the big picture. So instead of looking at what's at the end of our nose, we look out into the horizon so our view can expand. When we're focused on something negative, we got tunnel vision. But be careful of what connotation you use for the word accept. Some people think it connotes submitting to your fate and not doing anything about it. That's not the accept I'm talking about. Others think it's tolerating people treating you disrespectfully or abusively. That's not what I mean either by accept. With those meanings of acceptance, the outcomes worsen. Accept means that accepting what is actually is. Accepting means I'm getting older and I'm going to continue to get older. I may not like it. You may not like it, but that's what it is. There's nothing I can do to change it. So accepting is simply noticing what's true and intending not to judge it or push it away or control it, just to see what's there. I need to accept that my body's going to age. I'm going to get aches and pains. It will take longer to heal. I have to accept that, because when I don't accept it, I tense up and my pain gets worse. Or when I don't accept it and ignore it, I cause trouble too. I recently twisted my ankle, And after walking on it for a little while, I didn't feel the pain, so I continued to walk on it for over an hour. When I got home, I couldn't ignore the pain, so I elevated it and iced it. But I continued to do the elliptical every morning, saying, oh, this isn't going to hurt it, because I need to get my workout in. And it didn't seem to bother it when I was on the elliptical. And I continued to do yoga, even though some poses were uncomfortable. I just wasn't accepting that my ankle was still injured. So on Saturday, such a beautiful day, Walt and I decided to go to Blue Mounds and do some hiking. And it was fine at first. We were on a trail that was, while very muddy, was flat and didn't have a lot of rocks or ruts in it. But on the path back, the trail was very uneven. It was wet and it was filled with rocks. And I saw this at the start when we turned onto that path, but that was the way back to the car, so I'd walk it anyway. By the end of the walk, my ankle was throbbing, and I had re-injured it. I iced it that evening, but Sunday morning I got up, and I did the elliptical again. Again, not taking care or accepting that my ankle was injured. You know, I'm strong, I'm okay. And as I was stretching my feet after the elliptical, I noticed my ankle was still throbbing. And so I finally accepted the fact that my ankle was injured and I do need to baby it. And acceptance is about seeing what's true, whether you like it or not. And I sure as heck don't like having an ankle that doesn't allow me to get out and walk and run and do the elliptical and do all the things I like to do. But if I accept what I see is true, it allows me to pay attention to my external experience and respond instead of react. I was reacting by saying, oh, if I just ignore it, it'll go away. Not a very skillful way to react. And the same thing goes in life. If I stop and pay attention and say, okay, this is what's happening, I can respond instead of react. I'm not as likely to lash out at people or to blame people or to get really angry. You know, I can accept my friend wants this and I don't want this. I'm not happy about it. I can lash out and say, I can't believe you're so stupid. Why would you want that? Or I can stop and say, this is what is, and I'm not happy about it. And if I take that step back, I open myself a little bit, I might be able to see why they want something that I don't want and see, oh, that makes sense. I get why you want it. And then I don't have to be angry or irritated or upset. We just have different thoughts. And so accepting reality allows us to view it from a different perspective and create a gap. It's that gap that we're trying to learn how to do in meditation, to be able to stop and say, oh, my attention is here, stop a minute and see if I can take a step back so I can see the whole picture. Because when we're shining the light of awareness, we can accept things, we can have a different perspective, and we create that gap so we can respond more skillfully. According to Dr. Rick Hansen, there's two modes of perceiving information, allocentric and egocentric. And our culture reinforces the egocentric, where we look at things close up and personal. It's all about me. Anybody look at things that way? Yeah. What we can learn through mindfulness is to look using the allocentric mode. This allows us to see that we're all connected. We're all part of a greater whole. So instead of looking at what's at the end of our nose, we look out on the horizon. We see the bigger picture. And we can see that there's multiple views of the situation. And when we see multiple views, there's more possibilities. Jack Kornfield says, when we look at our own mind, we can notice the mental states that predominate, as if we were noticing the weather. Just as a storm can bring rain, wind, and cold, we can observe the cluster of unhealthy states that appear on our bad days. We may find resentment, fear, anger, worry, doubt, envy, or agitation. We can notice how often they arise and how attached we are to their point of view. We can also notice the healthy states in our most free and open-hearted periods. We can notice how love, generosity, flexibility, ease, and simplicity are natural to us. These states are important to notice. They give us trust in our original goodness, our own Buddha nature. So, seeing things as they are and recognizing whether they're pleasant or unpleasant, just recognizing the fact that they exist, whether we like it or not, helps us to see things in a different way. So how do we see in a different perspective when we're caught in the throes of life? One way is to pause and take a couple of deep breaths. This helps us step back and see the experience from a slightly different perspective. It gives time for us to let our prefrontal cortex turn on and shut down our amygdala. When we don't take that pause, it's our amygdala that's causing us to behave in unskillful ways, because we're behaving from an emotional point of view, not a rational point of view. So the key is creating this gap. And we meditate to train our brains to create the gap. Every time we become aware of our thoughts and we let them go, we're creating a gap. And letting your mind quiet helps you see more clearly what's going on in your mind. So every time thoughts arise and you're aware of them, that's training your brain to be more mindful. Pema Chodron says, the discursive mind, the busy, worried, caught up, spaced out mind is powerful. That's all the more reason to do the most important thing, to realize what a strong opportunity every day is and how easy it is to waste it. If you don't allow your mind to open and to connect with where you are, the immediacy of your experience could easily become submerged. You could be completely caught up and distracted by the details of your life, from the moment you get up in the morning until you fall asleep at night. How many of us get caught up in the details of our life and don't really know what's going on? All we see is the red. We don't see the cushion. I have a habit of ignoring anything that's unpleasant. And this habit is strong, so it's going to require a lot of discipline for me to see the unconscious habit that I have of pushing things away when I don't like them, and a lot of discipline to change that habit. I can't expect it to change overnight. I've had that habit for 60-some years. I've honed that habit and I've strengthened that neural pathway every single day. So if I get down on myself because I've fallen back into my habit of ignoring the unpleasant, then I'm just strengthening my neural pathway of judgment. And I'd like to stop some of that self-judgment. So I want to create new neural pathways. And I can do this by realizing that I can begin again today. I screwed up on Saturday not taking care of my ankle because I wanted to hike in Blue Mounds. I can start again. I screwed up on Sunday by doing the elliptical instead of resting my ankle. I can begin again. And every time, every moment is a chance to begin again. And we can take that moment to begin again instead of beating ourselves up. So we feel like we're a failure because we have to start over and over and over. But really what we're doing is more and more reps of mindfulness. Every time we begin again, we're strengthening the neural pathway of mindfulness. But because our habits are so strong, we need discipline and we need persistence. Suddenly, the bad habit rears its ugly head again, and we must work with it over and over and over. I've been meditating for more than a decade, and sometimes I'll think, I've already processed that. I'm beyond that. And it comes back up again. And when that comes back up again, I can say, oh, I'm never going to be whole. I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to be able to get rid of this. Or I can begin again and just work with it some more. It's amazing how much you have to work with it. But if you really think about it and look from a different perspective, been working with it maybe 5 years, but the neural pathways that I'm trying to change are 50 plus years old. And so it's not too surprising. But we need to be persistent. And that's why joining a meditation group, attending mindful moments is really important to help us with that being persistent. When we want to give up, we see other people are dealing with the same thing we are and are starting over again, and that gives us the motivation to do the same. So we want to learn to take that pause that helps us to step out of our habit energies. Have you ever driven home and not remembered anything on the way home or how you got there? The pause helps us to stop and create the gap so that we look again and see what's going on. We can then see the beauty in the world, which in our check-ins I heard a lot about the gratitude practice helping us see the good in the world. We can see the snow on the trees or the clouds in the sky or the daffodils coming up in the spring. But we have to slow our busy mind down to create that gap so we can see it. When we don't shine the light of awareness, we tend to fight against things as they are. We try to fight growing older. And we become easily upset with life's changes, with our losses, conflicts, or disappointments. We let them take hold of us as if some external thing has control over who we are and how we feel. We get on our hamster wheel of reactivity. And when we do that, we make it worse. We're looking for false security and for permanent pleasures. Those are unrealistic. They don't exist. When we're on our hamster wheel trying to get away from the unpleasant, it gets stronger because we're resisting it, even if we're resisting it unconsciously. And we do unskillful things then because we're not paying attention. You know, if you're in a dark room, shapes can look really scary. But when you shine a light, all the scary shapes aren't so scary anymore. We have emotions that we've never dealt with. We've kept them hidden inside. And shining the light of awareness on them, we may see they're not as bad as we thought. I am not such a terrible person. I'm just a perfectly imperfect human being, like everyone else. We see life as it really is. Not how we're afraid it is or how we hope it to be. And we learn to deal with reality rather than our image of reality. Sometimes we shine the light of awareness like a flashlight, looking at different pieces, looking at the beautiful sky, looking at the beautiful plants coming up. But other times we need to step back and get a better perspective. So we turn off our flashlight and turn on our floodlight. And we can consciously do that, move back and forth between the floodlight and the flashlight, depending on which one is more skillful in the moment. By shining the light of awareness through mindfulness and compassion practice, we can cultivate a new way of relating to life in which we let go of our struggles. When we step back from the struggle, we see anew. We see it's our mind creating the conflict. We see our constant judging of things and people. We see our greed and our prejudices. There are many times where I wish I didn't practice mindfulness because it's hard for me to look at all my insecurities, my imperfections, and my fears. But then I see how my habitual patterns really close down my heart, and that's what keeps me practicing. It gives me the strength to shine the light of awareness on myself and let myself heal. So to shine the light of awareness with slightly unpleasant or uncomfortable feelings and sensations, we can simply make a habit of pausing and taking 3 breaths. But sometimes things are a little more difficult than that. We don't pause, take 3 breaths, see the gap, and everything's fine. Sometimes we have to work with more difficult things. But we don't want to start there. We need to start with the easy ones. We start in kindergarten and work our way up. And so I was listening to a podcast by Jonathan Faust, and he gave some questions you can ask yourself to determine whether you're ready to shine the light of awareness on some of your tougher stuff. He says, is it possible to just observe these thoughts and feelings without judging? Am I willing to be with the experience? I can tell you when I started this, there was a lot of things I was not willing to be with the experience. I just wasn't ready. If resistance arises, can I stay with the practice? Can I find pleasure in the adventure of discovery? Who'd have ever thought you'd find pleasure in dealing with your difficult emotions? Is it possible to relax and calm my mind and my body even more? And can I accept and embrace reality as it is right now? And by answering those questions, it helps you see, am I ready for this next step? You don't want to do it if you're not ready because you don't want to re-traumatize yourself. So start again with little discomforts, irritations, and so on, and work your way up. And hopefully by doing that practice, you'll be able to hold your difficulties more lightly.